I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello everyone and welcome to Pixels, the bi-monthly show that covers games, gaming, and the video games industry. That's a lot of games. Let's do it! Hello everyone and welcome to Pixels. This is a show that ultimately will be, as you know if you've listened to the first one, will be a bi-monthly show about what else? Video games, of course. We will be doing like video game news every couple of weeks, summaries, analysis, and hopefully a slightly more, I don't want to say grown up. But yeah, I think I want to try and make this show into a little bit more of a serious conversation about video game. And of course, we're going to have fun, we're going to review games and all of that. But that will be in the long run. For now, this is the second pre-pilot. It sounds stupid, but that's what it is. And I figured we're at BlizzCon and we have to talk about what's happened here. So I brought a couple of friends and we're going to discuss all of this. And those two friends are... I'm getting text messages. I'm going to try and not pay attention to those. So I have Liv, Olivia Grace from Wowhead, whom I've known, well, at various Blizzard events for a long time. So you're like a super expert on all things Blizzard.
Absolutely. Well, absolutely. I'm a big fan girl, and I obviously enjoy Blizzard games enormously. And I've been with Wowhead for a fair old while now. And we've met a ton of times at Gamescom, hanging out in the Blizzard areas. It's been fun.
Yeah. So thank you for being here. And we also have another Italian, like, you know, we had Umberto in the first episode, and now we have Stefano. So can we make, like, spicy meatball jokes with you? Umberto didn't seem to like them, you know, Italian accents and stuff like that.
Well, whatever. I mean, I don't care. We've got different personalities, I'd say. But
you're Italian.
If you want to joke, let's joke.
So cool. So you're with Eurogamer and Corriere della Sera.
Yeah, right.
And we've also met a number of times.
Several times, yeah. I'd say.
And you haven't, attacked me or killed me yet because I was so annoying. So I guess we're going to, you know, have a decent conversation.
So far, so good. So let me put it that way.
All right. Thanks for being here, both of you. So there was a ton of stuff announced at BlizzCon this year. It was really... I think the best BlizzCon in years, if not ever. Tons of announcements, which we're going to get to. Disclaimer as well. I keep talking about what you guys do. Very important disclaimer, because I'm an ethical person. I used to work for Blizzard until as recently as last week. So, yeah, if I am overly enthusiastic about all of this, that might be why. That might, you know, it might also be because the games are awesome, but... You know, now you can judge for yourself. So before we go to the games, I wanted to quickly mention a topic that's really dear to my heart, and that's the controversy that Mark Morhaime, the president of Blizzard, mentioned at the beginning of his opening keynote. And that was the issue of, without naming any groups or anything specifically, he did talk about the harassment that has been happening specifically towards women in the video game industry. It's created a negative atmosphere in the conversations and the relationships between people. And even without going into the debates themselves, my feeling was... So I have opinions about this debate. Let's leave those aside for a second. But if you want to read about my opinions, patrickbeja.com, I posted an enormously long topic about this. But I thought it was really important to sort of remind... the world, what being a gamer is for the community. And that was more about, you know, inclusiveness and understanding and that the negativity didn't represent the gamer community as a whole. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Absolutely. Olivia, I mean, I thought that it was great that Mike spoke out about it. And I also think that it was great that he, like you, didn't single out any particular group. There is, regardless of recent events, there's a ton of unpleasantness in gaming. There's a ton of, you know, people trolling, and that's always going to be the case.
Yeah.
But it does us good to remember that the gaming community is more than that. Like, yeah, the gaming community is packed with amazing, positive people, like, and 25,000 of them here at BlizzCon just coming together to be really happy about, yeah, games. You know, it's been a fantastic event for me, and I think it's really worthwhile when there's been so much negativity, particularly in the mainstream media, to just take a step back and, you know, remember that actually there's a lot of happiness and, yeah, you know, we play games to have fun and enjoy ourselves, not to be hateful and unpleasant, yeah, to each other. And I think it's good to have someone as prominent as Mike just be like, put that out there and say, look, let's focus on that for a while. Yeah, I thought it was really positive.
Easy to forget that, yeah, you know. Yeah, go ahead, Stefano.
Well, the Gamergate issue is something that, to me, and I'm trying to make it as a joke, as an Italian, is surprising, because we are thought since the beginning to be very nice with women. So nobody would ever do it in Italy, and we would never be unfair with a woman. But this aside, I have to say that it is another problem that really I never happened to see. Because at least in Italy, it's very, very hard to find women playing video games.
Really?
And,
really?
Yeah. And I've always said
that. Well, maybe that's why.
Maybe no, that's why, yeah. No. Yes, because we are too nice with them, and they are, oh my God, still you are trying with me in the game. So in Italy, there's a completely different attitude,
yeah,
with women.
Yeah.
And but anyway, all over the world, because a lot of people fake a female character in an MMO just to, yeah, get some advantages.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
This is probably the good point in being a woman for real in, yeah, in a video game. This said, I have to say that I would extend the issue in general to trolling and bullying, even, yeah, to men. Of course, women are the weakest part, and they have to be even more protected. Mm. But I can tell you that sometimes a guild in an MMO, or anyway an experience in a video game, in a multiplayer game, can be like a Full Metal Jacket experience. Mm. And this is something I don't like. I think that once you remove this attitude in general, you will not have any longer any problem with men and women. Mm. Otherwise, it looks like you can still go on harassing men. And, of course, you have to protect the women, which is good for women. But even men, okay, have to be protected, I say.
Yeah, I would discuss the fact that men or women have to be protected. Because that, but anyway, that's a whole different conversation.
No, the problem is that nobody should be protected. They should not be the need of protection in a video game.
Yeah.
But I can tell you that myself, for example, I was in a very competitive guild, and once I just screwed up in a World of Warcraft, and I can tell you that the treatment I was receiving, yeah, was, you know, open.
Negativity in the, sometimes in the video game community as a whole is
the problem is that, yeah, there is the shield of the monitor. Nobody, mm-hmm, would ever dare, mm-hmm, to tell me these things live.
Yeah, of course.
So
I think there's definitely an issue of the anonymity that creates these kinds of atmospheres, and you know, the behind the screen, and you don't think of the other person as a person, which is exactly,
yeah,
what Mike said.
Yeah, exactly.
I do think there's an additional layer about, you know, women in general, but that's maybe another topic. Not in Italy, okay. So the big announcements. So very quickly about the quote-unquote small games, which are all enormous, but you know, that are not Overwatch, that new IP that Blizzard announced. Mm-hmm. Hearthstone is seeing a new expansion with 120 new cards. It's themed on goblins and gnomes. It's launching in December, which Blizzard hasn't really done, I think, before, like, yeah, announcing a game and launching it like a month later. And the Android version is coming in December as well, and we'll have finally an observer mode on Hearthstone, which has become a really important esport as well since it's launched. Any words on, yeah, Hearthstone and what it means for it?
I mean, I just think it's fantastic that, you know, a collectible card game that's been done mostly online and by Blizzard, they have a tiny team working on this, really tiny team, and it's exploded, and that's fantastic for particularly particularly for the sort of real esports focus for mobile gaming. So this is effectively a mobile game. Like, obviously, you can play it on PC, but it's very portable. And I don't know, I'm excited about it because I think it opens up the potential for esports to move out of just, you know, and I say just, but things like StarCraft, things like League of Legends, and obviously they will stay big. But I think it's really exciting to have something that's more emerging and played by a wider range of players.
Yeah, it's true that I guess for esports, just like for any sport to be successful, you need to have a lot of people playing it so that they understand, you know, they have an interest in watching the thing that they're going to understand. And Hearthstone certainly is more approachable than the other games you mentioned. So
to me, Hearthstone has been one of the biggest surprises ever. I still remember when I was not invited to PAX.
for the announcement?
Yes, for the announcement. And when they announced Hearthstone, I phoned my Italian representative and told him, okay, I don't care, because if this was the announcement, I'm happy to have stayed at home. And he told me, look, once you will play it, you will change your mind. And now this is the game of the Blizzard lineup. I care more.
Yeah.
This said, I got.
It's funny, you know. I've had so many stories like this with people when we announced it. People were so incredulous. You know, it was such a strange move for Blizzard, but for a big company in general, like to put this kind of energy behind such a quote-unquote small game, and everyone has been turned around and thinks the game, obviously, as we know, is
well, 20,
awesome.
20 million of people is an amazing result. But coming back to the new expansion they just announced, I got some doubts about the fact that the word random appears in nearly half of the cards. And even playing the game here at BlizzCon, a lot of times things didn't go as planned because of the randomic effect. And I was wondering, me as an average user can have a problem, but for an esport game like Hearthstone, as it has become, I don't expect the biggest player to be this happy to see their finest strategies screwed up because of the randomic effect. So I got some doubt, I have to say, about the direction that they're taking with the...
I think that's definitely a legitimate concern. My good friend Dills from the Angry Chicken podcast addressed this a little bit. He's much more of an expert than I am. And he said, first of all, the really memorable moments for the regular people come from those unexpected things where you're really hoping something's going to happen, or you're you know, something weird just changes the dynamic of the game.
This is only true when you win.
So
when
you
lose,
you are not this
But in esports in general, what he was saying was the players who are going to be really competitive are probably just not going to use those cards that have really unreliable elements to them. And so the randomness of it will likely not be as big of a factor in competitive play. And I think there's some truth to that. But certainly, the expansion puts a lot of emphasis on those wacky moments of randomness.
Well, if you introduce a new expansion with a certain cards, and these cards are not used, it's a failure anyway.
Yeah,
well,
indeed.
It depends. I think... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say exactly, just echo what you said, Stefano, that if you're introducing these cards, you're obviously trying to drive the gameplay and the game itself in a certain direction. You know, obviously the predictability of cards in a game like this is a good thing from a PvP perspective, is what I've always done in gaming is PvP, and you want predictable, you don't want random.
Sure.
You want to go for mastery, not critical strike, because you don't know when they're going to get them. And the introduction of that random element is highly problematic in competitive play. And if they just stay away from them, then Blizzard has failed to move the esports scene in the direction that they were perhaps hoping to.
So I agree. However, I think there is they're high-fiving each other.
No, it's true. I mean,
it's true. It's definitely true. However, I think there's a really important element in the way Blizzard designs games, is that they don't design them only for a certain type of players. And yes, of course, if you might look at it and think, well, if the pros are not going to be using these cards, then certainly it's not. They haven't achieved what they... But first of all, there aren't only these types of cards. And second of all, they're also, in my opinion, designing the game for the regular people to have fun. And in Hearthstone, it's been a very constant concern from the development team to make sure that it is approachable and fun for everyone. So it's basically like, if you take a game like WoW, you do have the super difficult rating tiers, but you also have daily quests that everyone can enjoy. And I think, I didn't really think about it like that, but you saying what you're saying, I think there might be an element of that, like the randomness, wacky cards might be geared towards more of a casual audience, and you still have some things for the more, you know, the more reliable things that people are going to use in competitive play, so... Well, we'll see how it works out. Yeah. Maybe it's going to screw everything. And Heroes of the Storm, a few announcements as well. A couple of new heroes, mm-hmm. Jaina and Thrall. Of course, you know, Heroes is Blizzard's Dota. I mean, MOBA. Oh, sorry. I mean, Hero Brawler. And there are so a few heroes, a new couple of new battlegrounds, rank play, closed beta on January 13, which is a big deal because it's also a game that's been growing and that could become an esports contestant. And then the Lost Vikings as a new hero, which is really three character that came out of nowhere.
It's so much fun. They were actually, I was at the Heroes of the Storm panel at last BlizzCon where they were talking about the heroes they were introducing, and someone asked for Lost Vikings then.
Yeah.
And then they attended, I believe it was one of the PAX ones, I forget which of the two, and they were asked, you know, there was a panel there about heroes, asked about Lost Vikings, and they finally delivered. I don't know if you guys have had a chance to play it.
No,
so
not
very fun here.
So they divide into three, like you can micromanage them as three different elements.
If you've ever played StarCraft, it's three individual characters which are in control groups, just like StarCraft. So you've got the keybinds, just like you'd have one, two, and three, four, to control one character at a time, and then the tank, the group all together. Yeah. They're all ultimate ability puts them in a longboat. It's, you know, it's delightful, but actually it's a really interesting game dynamic as well, because it allows you to have excellent map control. Like, you can split those guys out and go all over the map, and then you can pull them together for heavy focus pushing, that sort of thing. And a great thing about Heroes is that the mechanic of the game with the group leveling, which differentiates it heavily from, you know, your League of Legends, Dota, etc., etc., allows them to do these crazy heroes, which are just, you know, wouldn't work in any of these games with the individual XP focus leveling. And I honestly, I'm so excited about Heroes, and I really hope that it does well because it's such an interesting game to me.
Yeah, it's gonna get a lot wider, more widely accessible in 2015, and we'll see how it goes from there. If it does manage to grab a spot in the esports community, which and in the general gaming community
I
as well.
I think considering the size of the stage for Heroes here at BlizzCon, it will, because otherwise they would have made a smaller stage.
Yeah. StarCraft 2, not a lot to say about. I mean, confirmation of Legacy of the Void expansion. It will be a standalone expansion, which I thought was the most interesting aspect of it. You don't need the previous games to buy it, which I guess doesn't really make it an expansion. It's a bit strange, but it kind of is. And the Archon mode, which is you play two people, play one group, one faction. Not faction, but one group. At the same time, which is going to be weird. I guess the StarCraft 2 nerds are going to geek out on that. And let's get to the big announcement of the show. Obviously, Overwatch. Blizzard is taking on an FPS, a shooter. And that in itself already is kind of a weird thing to be even saying. It's a completely new IP that is very cartoony manga, very distinct art style. It's going to be in beta next year, 2015, hopefully, but they announced it. Multiplayer-based team shooter. Here again, we have the very strong element of multiplayer and team-based. No single player from what we've heard. We could try 12 different heroes in this early build. The controls are relatively simple. And, okay, let's get your impressions of the game. I'm guessing you have both had a chance to try it.
Yeah. I have to say that when the game was shown yesterday, I was really shocked because I was not expecting Blizzard to enter the FPS market and not with a manga-style game. What can I say? I mean, Blizzard, that we were just talking about Hearthstone. When Hearthstone was announced, everybody was thinking, yeah, what the hell? and when they announced World of Warcraft, everybody was surprised because we knew Blizzard for RTS.
Yeah. So that was obviously 10 years ago.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But I mean, if you look at the history of Blizzard, they always announced the game and everybody was thinking, are you sure? Because I know you for another genre. So, of course, this game, the only flaw I see is that if they would have blinded me and show me this game in a sort of blind test in the booth of, Bethesda.
Some random, yeah.
Yes, some random publisher. I'm thinking of Bethesda because it just reminds me Blink for some character design.
Yeah.
I would have believed it. So this is a game that doesn't look...
Blizzard,
Yes, it doesn't have the epicness of the other titles. But, you have to trust Blizzard because, I mean, if they make 20 million out of Hearthstone, who knows what they can do with an FPS.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, Hearthstone's lukewarm reception. Like, I was watching that thing. I also wasn't invited. but I was watching that same thing, and I was expecting Heroes of Blizzard All-Stars, as it was called at the time. And I was expecting that, and we saw this. And with Overwatch, it just came out of the blue. I have to admit that my very first knee-jerk reaction was that I was watching a film. I mean, the graphical level of it for Blizzard, they've completely gone away from that very Disney feel. But I... Like you say... They can make anything work, it seems.
I think, it's really interesting that Hearthstone came out last year or was announced last year.
Yeah.
And I think it is conditioning a lot of people to be open about the idea that Blizzard could maybe pull off even an FPS, which is traditionally maybe a more core type of game. And it's true, as you're saying, Stefano, when World of Warcraft it came out of a world of MMOs that was super, super obscure. Mm. It was the entire market for MMOs was, I think, 500,000 people. And so here, with Hearthstone as well, which has proven that Blizzard can do weird things, can make them work, people are looking at it with a little bit more openness. And when you try the game... There, the art style is somewhere between Pixar for the intro cinematic, which was a little bit surprising, and very the name of Team Fortress 2 for Valve has been mentioned a few times, and there is a little bit of that, but the comparison stops there because when you play it, you realize how super specific. The controls of each heroes are. I mean, I don't know if you've had a chance to play different heroes.
Yes.
My favorite was Tracer that has a blink ability, which you were referencing. And so you can blink three times with a cooldown of 5 seconds. So you can teleport a short distance three times. And then... come back, rewind time, kind of, your position in time, 3 seconds prior to the moment you press that ability. And all of those have 10, 20 seconds cooldowns for the abilities. And that's basically all there is to the character. And plus an ultimate ability that you'll be able to use every minute and a half or so. And that's all there is to it. But once you start playing with it, it turns into something that really you've never played in an FPS with before. You've never played an FPS quite that way. It becomes a weird mosquito that runs around you and then comes back and comes again. And like, it's a very strange way of approaching an FPS gameplay.
I think this may sound like blasphemy, but I think it's an FPS version of a MOBA. I mean, you got
many people have said that
different characters, different heroes with just three spells, because every character they can only have three different abilities. So very easy, as usual with Blizzard, very easy to learn, difficult to master. Tracer, of course, is the best character, but indeed it's the signature character of this game. It is the one that it has been shown since the beginning and the one that Blizzard has pointed the attention on since the beginning. Some other characters are more conventional, I say. I played several of them. What I like mostly of this game is the fact that it is not that fast-paced as many other FPS around. I'm starting to grow old, too much older.
Which might be a good thing for us.
I will not be zerg the very moment the match starts, which is good, even for my self-esteem. And I like the idea that everybody has got to act together. It's not an FPS where people can go around, scatter around the map, everybody thinking of minding his own business. Here you have to play together and really cooperate.
Yeah.
And I think that if all the characters will be able to force you into this kind of gameplay, Blizzard will succeed to make something really different.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you take this game and compare it to the more conventional FPS games, which we're used to seeing on consoles as well, and this is something quite different. This focuses on cooperation, and there's a lot of heroes which, you know, obviously you've got your standard archetype, like the warrior kind. Like, I am, for my sins, or, you know, see it as good or bad, I've actually played all of them now.
Okay.
I've been going around the queue and I picked them all up for work and also for pleasure. But you've got your standard, you know, your bruiser kind of archetypes, and there's some very normal ones in there. But there's some really different characters that function and require interaction and cooperation in order to maximize their potential. Like, you could play the Tonbjorn, I think his name is, the dwarf character.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the engineer type.
The engineer fella, yeah. You can play him and, you know, really do that sort of Call of Duty style, I'm just going to do my own thing and run around solo. But in order to really get the full potential out of everything he can do, you've got to have your teammates there and you've got to be cooperating. And to me, that's a really interesting sort of conflict from an FPS perspective, where historically people aren't necessarily the most cooperative.
Yeah, I mean, a few people have said, like, usually in FPSs, like, you know, Call of Duty and even Team Fortress to an extent,
yeah,
like, the goal for each player is to go out and play for themselves and kill as many people as possible. In this one, it seems like there's a slightly more strategic element to it, and you do have to play as a team in order to achieve what you want to achieve.
Yeah. I think it merits comparison almost to Heroes of the Storm versus the rest of the, you know, MOBA
scene,
community,
yeah,
there,
yeah,
where they've got this focus on team leveling, they've got this focus on cooperation, and these heroes, which really are hard to play without teamwork, and then they're bringing that same idea to Overwatch. And I think it's interesting, this focus on collectivity and working together as opposed to the pure solo game. And in all honesty, much as it's an admirable, you know, philosophical goal,
I
kind of wonder how successful it's going to be. You know, people, gamers are by their nature, I say, massive generalization incoming. Those of us who are hanging out on podcasts are probably not isolationists, but, you know, we all sit at home and we want to just go on by ourselves, do something chilled out and isolated. And I think a lot of people play on their own, not necessarily because they haven't the opportunity to play as a group, but because they don't necessarily want to. They want to do their own thing. They want to feel powerful and independent.
There's a real concern there. If only, I wouldn't say the isolationist issue, but definitely for being able to put a group together is a challenge for a lot of players, just because, you know, we all have lives, and even if we have lots of friends who play, they won't play at the same time. So if you can't get a group together, I mean, I've been playing Destiny quite a bit, and when you get to the point where you have to get three people together to do a mission, it's a challenge. You need to have friends that are here at the same time, at the right time, who want to play Destiny and who want to play that mission.
Just remember that we just made it in Molten Core with 40 people.
If
we can make it in 43, it's not that much.
But I agree. I think there is an opportunity, though, a possibility to make it work through game design.
Yeah.
Like, if the game design manage, I don't know how it's possible, but maybe Blizzard can pull it off. If the game encourages you and teaches you to play together and makes it rewarding, more rewarding than just going out and shooting everyone individually. And it's important to realize that you can't just make it not rewarding to go shoot people individually. You can't punish people for doing what they would want to do. You have to make them actually want to play as a group. If they manage to do that, then maybe you can go into a group and with random people who will actually work together. But it's a challenge.
Yeah, definitely. I'm
obviously super excited about Overwatch, but we have to remember that what we've seen is a tiny portion of the game and a very early portion of the game. So Blizzard, as we've learned, could potentially pull it off because they seem to be pulling off, you know, anything they're doing. But it's a tall order on an FPS. So
yeah,
another issue is that if you just make an FPS where everybody runs solo, it's easy. Than having a game where random people, they have to cooperate. And I mean, unless you don't have all these people connected speak on TeamSpeak, deciding the strategies, to have some people, you know, random, acting together without talking each other, without knowing each other, this is even harder and more difficult. So Blizzard is taking a very hard challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, hopefully, you know, they'll make it because the game looks awesome, and I'm sure we'll have more information as time goes on. A couple of other mentions about the game. The maps, there's no deathmatch, so that goes into the direction of the cooperative team play. The maps have sort of scripted elements, so you will start with a control element, and then once the team manages to control it, you will move on to a payload where you have to accompany a vehicle to the end of the base. So that also scripts things a little bit and encourages you to go towards the objective.
There are other modes anyway. For example, today we had a mode where you just had to conquer an area simply standing inside the circle.
Right.
But yeah, anyway.
A more classic control. There was also one last thing that I wanted to mention, which is in the way in which Blizzard simplifies things the right way. Like, for example, you're shooting your guns and you empty your magazine, but you don't have to reload. There's no button to reload, which in other games, you just do it automatically. You just reload when you have to, and it doesn't really bring anything to the game. In this one, the game reloads automatically without having you do it. And I think that's a very small but important element to notice, because they get rid, as they did in MMORPGs, they get rid of some elements that are here just because they've been here forever, but are not necessarily adding to the fun, and making space for elements of the game that are fun, like just jumping around and, you know, climbing walls and shooting enemies. So
for me personally, another great example of that with Overwatch, and it's probably going to be a controversial and not necessarily a popular opinion, the removal of sprint. I have an ardent and burning hatred of the sprint.
Oh, sprint on shift. Yeah, you're right.
I've never liked it. It's been a mechanic that's troubled me in many games, particularly when it's accompanied by the stamina bar. I've always disliked it, because the only thing you get out of sprint is a feeling that you're moving slowly when you're not using it.
Yeah, that's true.
The only desire, for me at least, on a personal level. And I think that the movement mechanics that they've added in instead are actually really exciting. Like, they've taken away that standard issue key, like, because it's always been there. That's what is on shift. And they've replaced it with, you know, various different movement mechanics, like double jumps, like sprint, or like not
wall
sprints.
Climbing.
Yeah, or, wall climbing, but like a sort of blast
jump,
forward or a charge, maybe a better way to explain it. And then you've got sort of the ones that have the additional abilities for the slow fall on spacebar. And I think that's just another great example of them saying, do we really need this thing that's always in games? Let's chuck it out and make something different. And I think it's really fun. Whether it's simple or not, I don't know. Yeah. But it's definitely fun.
And I think the thing I keep coming back to, the description I do about the different heroes, is they feel as different as they do in a MOBA or in a fighting game. That's the feeling I got from it. It's like a Street Fighter, where you take one character on another and they're completely different. So looking forward to that. Last word. They haven't said anything about the business model for the game, but what do you think? This feels like a free to play, right?
I would be surprised if it is not free to play.
Yeah,
I'm in the same boat there as well. I could believe a small initial purchase, but I would be very surprised if it was not free to play.
Yeah. And maybe consoles. It's simple enough that it could work on consoles.
Of course, because since it is a game where it just got three abilities, it's perfect for three buttons and the last button for playing.
I'm already planning to remap it all to my PC controller. You know, I'm already there.
All right. I think we have gone over pretty much everything we needed to talk about. There are, of course, a lot more things that happened at BlizzCon. And thank you very much for having me on the show, guys. Where can people find your work on the internet, Stefano? First,
Eurogamer.it and Corriere.it. Corriere.it in Italy as the newspaper.
Excellent. Do you have a Twitter account you want to mention?
Yes, it's called Agonista.
Okay.
And that's my Twitter account.
Excellent. Liv?
Me, you can find all of my stuff on wowhead.com or zam.com, which is the sort of umbrella site for all the sites I work on. And you can find me on Twitter at Olivia D. Grace.
Excellent. Thank you very much. For me, it's not Patrick on Twitter. You know that. Or you can find the show notes and other shows at frenchspin.com. I also want to thank Todd Whitehead from Alpha Geek Radio, who has been hosting us here in the AIE Guild Hall. Those of you who listen to The Instance and other shows from the Frog Pants Network know about that. I'm really thankful to Todd for having been allowing us to be here and lending us his excellent equipment. So thank you so much, guys, for listening, and the next show will be the beginning of the regular version of the
favorite one-hit wonder.
Or that overpriced toy your parents would never let you have.
Or that TV show that no one else remembers because it was canceled way too soon. Now what if we could fix it? I'm Francesca Ramsey.
And I'm DeLon Grant. And after 20 years of friendship, we are now hosting a new nostalgia podcast called Let Me Fix It.
Each episode, we'll dig into our favorite celebrities, shows, and brands of yesteryear, and then imagine what it would take to repackage them for relevance today.
Think of our show as an intervention, but with way less stakes.
So subscribe to Let Me Fix It wherever you get your favorite podcasts.